Daylight saving time Sunday is March the 8th, which is the third Sunday from this Sunday. I see the third or fourth. I don't forget which. But it's... Oh, yes, the third Sunday. Yeah. Daylight, and the reason I'm picking that, I'm gonna pick a day every month, but to what we remember. But daylight saving time Sunday, if it's any way possible, we're gonna take that day aside and we're gonna have it to be where
invite Friends Day. That's gonna be called Friends Day. So if you know, if you've got a friend that, you know, that's not in church, don't go to church nowhere, or used to go to church, but just haven't been lately, just encourage them, invite them to church. And the one that brings the most visitors that day, the next Sunday, I'll have a surprise for you. And the surprise is going to be something that it's going to be something, well, because it's going to be where y'all can cherish it and read it, and it's going to be something from a book, maybe. I don't know what it's going to be right now, and it may not have made up my mind yet, but it's going to be something. And it may be that you never know. The Holy Spirit may put it upon my wife to sing a special.
Keep thinking.
Always remember these words, Shelby. Remember these words. Well, over here in the book of Matthew chapter 16 is talking about Peter. It says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, that right there is something within itself. Get thee behind me, Satan. He's going to follow us, whatever we do. And a whole lot of times he's going to take and upon himself to even... for us to fall. But we should never, ever want to fall in the way under the way Satan wants us to fall. We should always want to fall the way that God wants us to fall. And we should always fall forward. We should never fall backwards, because when you fall backwards, I don't see anybody here today. I want you to turn around, and I want you to smile at each other. All right? Even the ones that didn't turn around, I suspect that you don't have no eyes in the back of your head. So you're not going to, when you fall backwards, you will never get to the point of knowing and what you're going to fall on and fall into. But Satan has always has a trap for us. He has always has got a trap for the Christians because he knows he cannot get to our soul. He knows that he cannot touch us as far as our salvation is concerned. But he can touch us in the way that we will forget about some things that we must do for the Lord. Now, I've said many times myself, I've said many times to other people that as long as the devil is on me and as long as the devil is attacking me and attacking my mind, then I know that I must be doing something right. And I've got a question I want to ask you this morning. Are you doing everything you can possible to do right? Are you doing it the way God would have you to do? And I know that where Peter said, and where it was Jesus was speaking right here, says, but he turned and said unto him, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savoreth not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Over here, we go over into the book of, go one chapter, the next chapter, chapter 17. And I got 7 verses there that I'm going to read this morning. And I hope I can bring a message in this thought this morning. Have you had a touch? Or have you ever been touched by the Lord? And after 6 days, chapter 17 and verse 1 says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeareth unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you for the individuals that came out. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we can learn something from thy word, Father, that will strengthen and encourage us, Father, to go out. And Father, be the witness that you'd have us to be in our walk and in our talk, Father. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you just give each one of us something afresh and anew from heaven's throne room today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Up here in the very first verse, and after 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brethren, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. They was upon the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ. They was the inner circle. They was right there where he was at. And they was so close to him that they, no doubt, sometimes they laid their head upon his breast. And he was strengthened by the encouragement that God given them. And we can also be strengthened today by the encouragement the Lord can give us. And we can belong to his inner circle. But it's a whole lot of people today that's Christians and a whole lot of saved people today, they're not really that close to him because they're not really in the inner circle and where he is at, where they can feel the breath of feel his own breath upon them. And like I have said time and time before, we can feel the breath of God if we're doing his work. And I love it when I'm preaching and when the Holy Ghost will just come by and just kiss me on the side of the face and just breathe upon me. I love that. It's something that's afresh. It's something that is afresh as the morning dew out. It's something as fresh as the fresh air outside. You know, we can go outside now, right now. Even when I went outside for a few moments, I knew it was chilly outside. I knew it was cold outside. But when I went outside, I felt the fresh air. I felt the fresh air and the breeze that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us each and every day. Sometimes people don't even feel the breeze there, the fresh air of the Lord. Some people, they say, well, I'm going to just be a hermit today, and I'm going to be a hermit until spring comes about, until it at least gets 60 or 70 degrees. I'm not going back outside until it gets 60 or 70 degrees. But look at what all the things that they have missed without not going outside. We miss so many things because we are scared that if we do go outside, if we're scared, we're scared to face things because we feel like that we get so bundled up, we can't move or something like that. But we need a fresh air from heaven. We need it more than once a week. I need it more than twice a week. I need it more than three times. I need it every day. Because he will give us strength. But we see right here in 17:2, it says, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as a light. And was transfigured. He was transformed to where other people could see his love toward them. The transfiguration gave the three disciples a preview of Jesus' future exaltation and the coming kingdom. We can also say that we need to be a part of the inner circle with Jesus Christ. And when we're a part of the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can be a part of the individuals out here in the world. We can be a part of the friends that we have. that our friends can see something different in our lives. Yes, they may be, they can be our friends, and they can see, they should see a difference in our life. And no doubt they probably got other friends. Maybe the other friends that they have, they don't see a difference. They see the same old thing every day. But at least they can come and be a friend of ours, and they can have hope. And they can have some type of assurance in knowing that, yes, we can call them our friend because we love them. There's not but two commandments for us today. But you go out here and you ask the majority of the people out here, that even a whole lot of the people even in church, they think that we still abide on the Ten Commandments. But it's not true. We don't go by the Ten Commandments because the Ten Commandments cannot be kept. That's the reason God gave the Ten Commandments. He gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, to where Moses could tell the people there, the Israelites and everything, and he could tell them about the Ten Commandments. Why? God knew that they would not be able to keep the Ten Commandments. God knows that we can't keep the Ten Commandments. Because one of them says we should not go out here and kill. We should not go out here and murder. But you know something? We don't even have to have a pistol. We don't even have to have any kind of weapons at all to really to destroy an individual's life. We can do it with the tongue. That right, the tongue is the most dangerous part of our body. Because it can do more damage than anything else. It can do more damage than a gun can do to an individual's life. Oh yeah, the individual, he can take that gun, he can take someone else's life. Yeah. And well, they have to end up having a funeral for them and bury them and everything else. We can do the same thing with the tongue. We can take their life also. Because an individual that does not have a testimony, it doesn't make no difference what kind of testimony it is. If it's a testimony unto the Lord or if it's a testimony for the devil, our tongue can destroy their testimony. And when their testimony is destroyed, not only is their testimony destroyed, their character is also destroyed. But we need a touch. We need a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord that we that are here this morning, and I'm praying. I don't know your heart. The only heart I know of is my heart this morning. I don't even know my wife's heart. But my prayer is that each one of you have had the touch of salvation on your life. The touch of salvation. God sees us. God knows where we're at this morning. God also knows there's a whole lot of people in church this morning around town that He'd love for them to get saved. But they didn't come to church and they didn't got into the church services and they know how to act. out in your church services. They know how to act. They know how to act just as good as the next Christian does. They know how to act. Why? Because they've been there so long. They know that they need to get up there and sing, and they need to sing it with a smile. They know that. They know that they need to put a little money in the offering plate. But people today are being so deceived. He touched you on the shoulders and said, in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He touches each one of us on the shoulders. He touched me on the shoulders one day, and I thank God for that. There's a touch of service, and he touches us after salvation has come into our hearts and our souls, and he's touched us with a touch of service to where we would be willing to go out and share what he's done for us. Have you shared your testimony to other people? Have you shared what God has done for you? You know, that's what really going out and witnessing for. That's what really witnessing is all about. It's going out and telling somebody, tell someone else our testimony to them and let them know, yes, I was once dead. Yes, I was once doomed for hell. But now, praise God, I've had the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ on my life. He's touched me in such a way that, yes, I had to go out and I had to do something for the Lord. Because why? Because he done so much for me at Calvary. He pardoned my soul. He pardoned my sin debt at Calvary. He done all that I wouldn't even have to go. That I wouldn't even have to go and die that sin debt. It says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is through Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Psalms 119 and verse 11 says, thou hast and we must. I know it's not the exact way it should go, but it's the way we'll put it. But thou hast given us the word of God. And we must take a portion of God's word and hide it in our heart, that we will not sin against him. Because you know something, the devil throws a good fastball. And if we don't watch it, that fastball can hit us upside the head. And when it does, then we'll start getting to thinking about something else. But the touch of service. The touch of service. The touch of salvation. The touch of service is on our soul. We must go out here and visit everyone we can. We must go out and tell them, so praise the Lord. You know what the Lord done for me today? Hallelujah. He blessed me enough to where I could get up this morning and I was able to go to church. That's a testimony. That's part of your testimony. Amen. And they can say, well, you mean you got up this morning as cold as it was? and windy as it was, and you went to church? I sure did. Praise the Lord. He giveth me the strength. He giveth me the health. He's given me the stamina to get up and go.
Amen.
We could all stayed home this morning. And it probably wouldn't have took that much for us to stay at home this morning. But if we all stayed at home, if all of us had stayed at home, what would we have missed? We'd have missed something, but what would we have missed? What would we have missed? We'd have missed out on the fellowship one another. And we've missed out on the laughter. You know, I've been into some churches, and praise the Lord. I mean, I'd come in right before 11 o'clock, and I was supposed to preach it that Sunday, and go up at 11:30 and preach that Sunday, and I'd be sitting down in the second pew, me and my wife would, and hallelujah, and the only one that would welcome is the one that give me a call and say, would you come preach for us this Sunday? We'd like to hear you preach. And I'd meet him, and they'd meet me at the door, and the only reason he'd speak, because I'd be a stranger, somebody that's been there before that they've never seen. But did you think anybody else in the church come up over and welcome me? Or give me a handshake? No. Thank you. The only thing that they were doing, they were just saying, they're saying to the people, they're saying to me, God, I'm here this morning. You bless me if you can. That's the reason they come, and they never are being blessed. Because they're not saved. There's a whole lot of people in church today that's not saved. There's a whole lot of people that's in the house of the Lord today that's not saved. If they could go in there and prune out the church, and I believe that's what God is doing today. God is pruning the church. God is pruning the house of the Lord. He's getting rid of all the dead weight. And I'd be sitting on the front row. Yes, they would they'd hand me one of them bulletins and everything. And praise the Lord. And yeah, they're going to sing this. They're going to sing this. I'm going to see how close they stick to. Oh, they stick to right to the T. I don't know why they didn't just put the time down exactly when this isn't going to start and when this isn't going to finish. You don't never put a timetable on God. You don't never put a time or frame around God's work. Because then God's never going to work. And I'd be on sitting there on the second row with my wife, and I'd be looking at my notes in my Bible and everything. And then I'd start praying. Then I'd ended up, I said, Lord, isn't it over yet? I mean, I knew I was going to have to get up there and just be like a dentist. I'm going to have to get up there with my pliers and everything else. I'm going to have to pull some teeth this morning. I mean, but people don't know how to come into the house of the Lord and worship. They don't know what they're worshiping the Lord about. They don't even know if they're even saved or not. I bet you right now I could ask each and every one of you if you're saved, and you say yes. Or you say no. But we've got to realize that we are the people that is running Faith Baptist Church emergency room for this part of the county. We are here to bandage them up because, see, they've been hurt. They've been hurt by other preachers. They've been hurt by other teachers. They've been hurt by other churches and everybody around. But if I ever hurt anybody, it's because of ignorance on my part. Because I never want to be to that way to where people look to me and say, preacher, you've hurt me. Don't never come up and say something, well, preacher, you shouldn't have said it in the Bible. You know, you said here the other Sunday that, you know, that if I said anything in my preaching that I hurt you, it's because of my ignorance. It's true. It's because of my ignorance. But if what I say goes with this book, don't discuss it with me. You discuss it with God. Because that's just like Brother Bill. When Brother Bill goes out on the postal service, when he goes out on the postal route and everything, and when he puts the letters in the envelopes in the individual postal boxes where they go, is he responsible for what is in that particular envelope? Did he charge that? Did he charge the people? Well, Heather, oh man, it's a light bill this month. I confounded that postal man. He could have lost that thing. Yeah, he could have lost it, all right. Yeah, he could have lost it. Then next month when you'd have got one, you'd have got one. The next month I said, now see, now I'm a month behind. Instead of paying $300, now I'm paying almost $700. Should never have done that. Hey, don't take it up with me what God said, because I can't change it. I can't change, and I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to change this book and His Word to satisfy me. Because I know that I'm a sinner. I know I sin each and every day. I know that. But thanks be to God that He also gave me something in the Bible that I could read and help me to know that all I have to do is come to Him and ask Him to forgive me. For I have sinned against Thee. And I've even had people say, well, how did you know God the Father forgave you of that sin? Because I understood. I thought since you saved me, you spoke to sin. I said, well, I don't know about you. I don't know what you get yours from, but I mean, you know, you sin every day. And I says, and we gotta go to God every day for the sin that we've committed. We need to go to Him. We ask for forgiveness for it. And when we do, I know as soon as I go to the Lord Jesus, I say, Lord Jesus, forgive me or have sinned today. I said something a little while ago, Lord, that I should not have said. Help me, Lord, with that. Please forgive me for that. And I've even asked, and people have even asked, and I tell people that, I just tell them, you know, I talk to them and I hear, and they would talk about different things and lead up to that point and everything, and that's what I'd go back to them and say. They say, okay, says, but the Lord, He forgave you, right? He said, but now, where it says over in the Bible that God the Father, He looks down on you and He looks down on me like we've never sinned. I said, yep, you're right. He said, how can that be? You just confessed to the Lord that you've sinned. I said, yep, sure did. I said, but do you know God the Father there and the Lord Jesus Christ, they came and they met together. That's where mercy kissed and grace kissed together. You know, I thank God for that. He says, well, how did you know God forgave you for that? I said, well, the reason I know, because I know my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I know Him. I know Him in a personal and an intimate way. And I says, I'm going to tell you something else too. My Lord, He has a special relationship with God the Father. With the final judge, He has a special relationship with the judge that we're going to have to stand before one day. And He's going to say, Father, forgive him because he's already come to me and confessed his sin and asked me to forgiveness. But then the Father says to him, says, son, well, wait a minute, son. Says, I see no sin in him. Only thing I see is your blood on his soul. His blood. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood He shed for me. Me, Donnie. Yes, He shed for Donnie. He shed it for the whosoever will. And that's Donnie. That's Sister Huff. That is Brother Huff. That is Sister Nancy. Sister El. And Sister Betty, Sister Shelby, Sister Donna, Sister Julia, He shed His blood for us, the whosoever will. And praise God, we are the whosoever. We are the whosoever. And if you can't hear it like that, it's whosoever. That's who He shed it for the whosoever. And I don't mind being somebody calling me. Hey, whosoever, come here a minute. Come here a minute, whosoever. Come here a minute, whosoever. Hey, that's who He died for. Anybody want to call me whosoever, they call me whosoever, whatsoever, anything they want to. But they have to know one thing. That I'm saved. I'm saved. I've been born again. I've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hey, we need to get excited. Praise God. Woo, glory! If my wife won't hear this morning,
and she is homesick. You know what I'd be doing now? I'd have been done come off of this pulpit, and I'd have been done trying my very best to run to that back door, hallelujah. And I'd have been went out that back door, and I'd have went running, praise God. I may run them down 58, I don't know. But I know one thing. I know one thing, I'd have tried my part. Praise God. Hey, I know if I'd happened to hit the floor, I know I at least I'd have had somebody come by and lift me up. I had the preacher, my pastor, James, out. He said, man, he said, how you doing today? I said, I'm doing all right. He says, you mean, you doing all right now? You ain't been slayed in the spirit anymore? I said, well, put it this way. I says, I don't go for all of that, but, you know, all of that being slain and all that, what they do today and everything, wanting to come up and do all that dancing and everything. I said, no, I ain't gonna dance. I can't dance. I don't even know how to dance. I wouldn't even know how to dance if I knew, even if I were to start taking lessons, I wouldn't know how to dance. And if I did, the Lord make sure he'd take his steps away from me. He'd make sure that he'd put me in a wheelchair. But we can lift our hands toward heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you lift your hands this morning? Lift your hands. Hallelujah. We need to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, today, that you are our God and you are our Savior. And we do thank you for allowing us, Father, to have thy touch this morning, God. We felt your presence and we thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, we pray right now, Lord, as Brother Bill gives a song, we pray, Father, if it's anyone that's here this morning, Father, that would love to come to the altar, and Father, pray for a loved one or someone else, Father. Or just come and pray for me, Father. Yes, I need the prayer also. And Lord, we just pray, God, that we can be able to go about, Father. We can start bringing some people in. We don't have to wait until the 8th of March to start bringing people in. Father, yes, Lord, we need to do our part. We need to say, hey, yes, you just need to come on. Come to church and just try us. That's all I ask you to do, just come to church and give us a try for 30 days. And I promise if they'll give us a try for 30 days, I know, Father, you'll do your work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.